Jeff. Looks like it's graduation day here at Vermont Police Academy in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, a brand new batch of police officers are getting ready to hit the streets and the back roads of the Green Mountain State.
The Vermont Police Academy buildings and campus, they're gorgeous.
Yeah, for sure.
A three-story building with a brick facade, white pillars out front, and beautiful stonework around the windows. I mean, it looks historic. Like it could have been a college or something at one point.
Yeah, it is gorgeous, and it is historic, and you're right. It wasn't always a police academy. This building was once a hospital for tuberculosis patients.
Oh, wow. Okay, I could see that. It must have been a nice hospital here in rural Pittsburgh.
It was in its day, but it was a TB hospital. No doubt people died here. And if these new police officers didn't have to go through rigorous enough training, they also may have had to deal with ghosts. Because today, the Vermont Police Academy building is haunted.
Hi, I'm Ray Osier.
And I'm Jeff Belanger. Welcome to episode 334 of the New England Legends Podcast. Thanks for joining us on our mission to chronicle every legend in New England, one story at a time, from haunted places to monsters and roadside oddities, cryptids, true crime, and the just plain weird. We love it all. And if you want even closer access to the strangeness, be sure to download the free New England Legends app for your smartphone. The app was developed by Lauren Middleton of River Valley Digital. Woo-hoo. It's got all of our, yay, Lauren! It's got all of our episodes, plus an interactive map with directions to the hundreds of legends we've covered.
Now, don't forget about our annual Zombie Prom. It's coming up on Saturday, February 17th, 7 p.m. at the Doubletree Hotel in Milford, Massachusetts. Tickets are only $25 ahead of time, and all profits go to benefit Community Harvest Project, a volunteer farm that donates fresh, locally grown fruits and vegetables to area food banks. To find out more, click on the link in our episode description or on our website.
So we'll go searching for the ghosts of the Vermont Police Academy right after this word from our sponsor.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity that you get. That, wow, how have I been living like this feeling? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. The quality that I've received from Mint Mobile is second to none, and I've tried them all. And this is an amazing company to work with that actually cares about their clients and the prices that they charge. So if you're on that fence wondering, should I make the shift? You're going to get great coverage, you're going to get great customer service, and all of the bells and whistles you expect from the bigger brand names. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans and their jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Okay, my little darklings, I know, just by looking at me, you think, that guy does not work out. Well, you'd be right. And aside from just looking at me and knowing I don't work out, I was quickly reminded of the fact that I don't work out because I've got subscriptions to not one, not two, but 3 different apps to help me maintain my weight and get in shape and feel better. 3 apps that I worked diligently when I first signed up for them for about a week and then forgot all about them. But thankfully, Rocket Money didn't forget about them. I'd forgotten all about 3, not one, not two, but 3 different subscriptions to 3 different organizations. And here I am, still dumb, still fat, and losing money every month without even paying attention to it. I think some of you out there might understand the predicament I'm in, and that's why you need to get Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over all of my subscriptions and a clear view of exactly where my money is going. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved now a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/P60. That's rocketmoney.com/P60. rocketmoney.com/P60.
Okay, Jeff. I promise I'm not going to make 20 Police Academy movie references during this episode.
Well, good luck to both of us. So, hey, speaking of those movies, a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I got to see Bobcat Goldthwait. Do some stand-up at Providence Comedy Connection. He was hysterical. It was a great set.
Does he still do the voice?
So, okay, he did it a tiny bit, but only in reference to someone doing an impression of him to him. I mean, it was way funnier when he did it. Anyway, it was cool to see him in person, and it brought me back to all those great Police Academy movies.
Which we said we wouldn't reference in this podcast, right?
Right. Okay. Sorry. Okay, so back to the haunted Vermont Police Academy. If you go into the old patient rooms today, rooms now used by the recruits, you can still see the old nurse call buttons on the wall. And they say if you press the button, especially late at night, you may just get a ghostly visitor. And to find out how that all came about, let's head back to the year 1918 and see this building.
It's late May of 1918 here in Pittsford, Vermont. For the last 4 years, the world has been at war. The human and economic toll has been brutal. If the bombs and bullets didn't kill you, there's an invisible killer out there stalking all of us. And the death toll is surpassing soldiers killed in the Great War.
Tuberculosis. Tuberculosis, or TB, is a horrible illness. And though that's the formal name, it used to be known as consumption because it consumed its victims.
Now, it's also been called the wasting disease because those who catch it often waste away to nothing.
So tuberculosis is a germ. It's a bacteria that infects your lungs. It could kill you in a matter of weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years, and some people just sort of lived with it for the rest of their lives. It's contagious. And it's wiped out entire families and villages all over the world.
And the Great War in Europe only made things much worse when it came to TB. You had all of those soldiers from various countries all fighting in Europe in close quarters, dirty places, and breathing all over each other. As soldiers return to their home countries, they're bringing a deadly illness back with them.
Which brings us here to Pittsford, Vermont. This tuberculosis sanatorium was built back in 1907. Its first patients arrived in December of that year.
This hospital was designed for the lighter cases of TB, people who could respond to the fresh air treatment they were offering. Part of the point of bringing patients here is so that they can't infect others. It's one of the many ways to fight the epidemic.
But with a huge influx of soldiers coming home, the TB hospital in Pittsford is forced to expand. Go ahead and read this from the May 22nd Burlington Free Press.
Okay. It says, quote, "We have got to be prepared to take care of our soldiers who will come back with tuberculosis, as a great many of them will. The state has made preparations to handle the bad cases, and the soldiers thus discharged from military duty will be placed in tents at the tuberculosis hospital at Pittsford for the summer, and winter arrangements will be made later."
So tents and some temporary structures are erected on the grounds of the hospital to take in the worst cases. In the coming months, the hospital and grounds fill up. The staff and nurses are stretched thin as they try to care for the patients inside the hospital, as well as all the returning soldiers outside.
One of those nurses is Mary, a selfless, kind soul who stays late, doing all she can to help others. She tends to her patients in the main building. She helps outside, too.
And the patients adore Mary. She's so attentive. She offers sunshine and hope in a place that can get pretty bleak, especially when other patients pass away from the illness that everyone here is fighting.
Working at TB facilities like this is pretty dangerous. Tuberculosis is highly contagious. The staff have to be extra careful. They wear masks and they wash their hands. They change their uniforms.
But sometimes, no matter how careful you are, a germ can slip through. And sadly, that's what happens to Nurse Mary. starts as a cough. But in a place like this, every time one of the staff coughs, their coworkers can't help but glance with suspicion. Soon it's clear, Nurse Mary has contracted tuberculosis. The caregiver has become the patient.
In the coming weeks and months, Mary slowly declines, wasting away as the TB bacteria eats away from her from the inside out.
Eventually, Mary takes her last breath. Like countless millions of others around the world, she succumbs to tuberculosis. And that brings us back to today. Though Nurse Mary died, that's not the end of her story. She's said to haunt these grounds to this day.
The Pittsford Sanatorium for Tuberculosis closed in 1970, soon after the buildings and grounds were converted to a police academy, which is what it's been ever since.
Echoes from the past have haunted this building. As we mentioned earlier, they say when a recruit presses the old inactive call buttons on the wall of the rooms, especially late at night, that a ghostly figure of a nurse dressed in white may come to check on you. Unlike some Hollywood horror movies, Nurse Mary's ghost isn't a threatening or ominous present, just a friendly one.
Well, we've learned that not all ghosts are scary. Sometimes it's a connection to the past.
Now, there's another ghostly account down near the firing range. This comes one foggy day. The instructor and the students could feel the oddness and the eeriness of the atmosphere. Suddenly, they look over and see the figure of a woman dressed in a white tunic just gliding toward them. The spectral woman glided towards some training trailers and then vanished.
I can imagine it's pretty well established on these grounds that it's not a good idea to wander through the gun range.
No, not unless bullets can't hurt you.
And that would make sense considering the grounds once had many tents for World War I soldiers who came here sick with TB.
I've said many times before that a ghost is history demanding to be remembered. These great historic buildings always have many layers of history to them. You can walk these grounds and remember a time when an epidemic turned this into a bleak place where the sick and dying came for some comfort. But even in that darkness, there was always hope in the form of kind caregivers and staff. I mean, maybe when these police cadets today are going through the roughest parts of the training, a little hope from the past in the form of a ghost may be just the thing they need to keep going.
And you should keep going with this podcast because we've reached After the Legend, where we dig deeper into this week's episode and sometimes, well, we veer off course.
We do. After the Legend's brought to you by our Patreon patrons. We're not on some big podcast network. We work for you. Now, I know the tipping economy can be frustrating for all of us, but we do this because we love the stories, the history, and the incredible community that's come out of this. The more people who help out, the more we can do. We're only asking for $3 per month, though some choose to give a little more. And for that, you get early ad-free access to new episodes, plus bonus episodes and content that no one else gets to hear. Just head over to patreon.com/New England Legends to sign up. And if you'd like to see some pictures of the Vermont Police Academy today and some historic photos, and oh, why not, a picture I snapped of Bobcat Goldthwait when he was at the comedy club, click on the link in our episode description or go to our website and click on episode 334.
How was he? I don't care about this episode. I want to hear about Bobcat.
Wow. Very funny. Yeah. Very funny. Relatable. I had no idea all the stuff he's worked on.
Oh, my God. He's a legendary director at this point.
Yeah, I had no idea. I thought he sort of vanished after Police Academy. He did not. He just went behind the camera. Yeah. Did tons of producing and directing.
Shakes the Clown is, are you familiar with that one?
I don't know
that one. That is a cult classic.
Okay.
He's amazing. Meet Bob. Do you remember Meet Bob? His cassette. I had the cassette back in the day. He did that during the Police Academy movies. It was stand up.
Yeah, yeah. That's how he started.
And he used the voice.
Yeah.
We interviewed him, me and my morning show co-host, and it was way after the fact. But the co-host started the conversation with, hey, Bobcat, how you doing? And he goes, oh, did I just traveled back to 1985? And I was, at that point, I was like, it's over. The conversation's done, and it wasn't great after that. I'm like, why did you do that?
Everyone does the impression of it. He had one bit in his act, and he only did it once, where he's like, he was getting an MRI, and anyway, see his stand-up, but he talked about how like the guy's like, oh, I do an impression of you, and he's like, ah! Yeah. I'm like, ah!
Well, that's what made me think of my co-host.
Yeah. And it was funny to hear him. I mean, he barely did it. His stand-up, though, was really funny, and when people are like famous and successful and have been doing stand-up a long time,
yeah,
often their stand-up doesn't hold up. Because your problems ain't my problems. You know what I mean? Like, you know when the Ferrari's in the shop and the Bentley's, you know, like needs to be waxed and your butler's out? I'm like, no, I can't relate to any of that.
But I don't think he's like that anymore. No. I think he's he's a working director. That's it.
No, he's a down-to-earth comic.
But he's not making millions either.
No, I don't think so. I mean, all of his stuff was very relatable, like family issues and staying in hotels. And, you know, like I laughed solid for an hour.
You were pretty close, too. I saw the photo.
Yeah, well, it's a very intimate, I mean, I'm not a sponsor, but like it's a great place to see stand-up comedy.
Where was it again?
Providence Comedy Club Connection.
The Comedy Connection.
Yeah.
Maybe they should be a sponsor. Maybe if they hear
should.
This.
Yeah.
Look at the love we just gave you.
Yeah. No. Even the openers were great.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good comedy.
And I don't think he's out often. I don't think you can see Bobcat too often. Yeah.
He's on a tour right now. He has a new album out.
Oh, nice.
I forget what he called it, but
a comedy album, obviously.
Yeah, it's stand-up. It's a stand-up comedy album. I will give away just one of his lines where he said, "I'm a VHS comic in a TikTok world."
That's great. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and you can see that if you follow him on Instagram. So he's got a little clip. So,
but I've always been a huge fan of his.
Very funny.
You know, when he was doing the whole shtick with Police Academy, and then even after that, I appreciated him. Anyway,
so we should. So speaking of police academies, this one in Vermont has a haunted reputation, and it got me thinking. I've met many a police officer over the years.
Yeah.
Who at various things. Sometimes they're into the paranormal. Sometimes they're part of teams.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're very skeptical, which is so much fun for me because they'll tell me stories. They're like, "I don't believe in any of this stuff." I'm like, "That's fine. I don't need you to. It's okay." Yeah. And I said, "But tell me, you pull a car over and you say license and registration, and all the driver says is, 'Okay, I'll get it for you.' How come you know there's drugs in the car? How come you know that?" And all he said was, "Okay, I'll get you the license and registration." And he goes, "I don't know, but I do." And I'm like, "I know, right?" And I'm not, they call it the blue,
intuition?
Yeah. Like, of course you do. Because, like, there's just something in the air that you're like, this doesn't feel like every other pullover where someone's just like, "I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention and I blew through the stop sign or whatever." Mm. So there's that. So that blue sense is what they call it. And I said, then the other thing is, I said, "Tell me, maybe there's a house or two in town that you get called to somewhat regularly. Middle of the night, intruder."
Mm.
Family wakes up, says, "We need help. There's someone in our house."
Yep.
You race to the house. You get to the door. The family greets you. They're sane and sober. You can use your own two eyes to see that. They're absolutely fine and with it. Mm. And they say, "There's an intruder." And you go, "Okay, I'll look through the whole house." You look through the house. Nothing missing. No sign of forced entry. Mm. No problems whatsoever. And you go, "Okay, well, they must have just got spooked and called us. And all right, no fuss." Mm. And then you get called back to the same house like 6 months later or a year later. New tenants now.
Mm.
And then again.
Something's going on in the house.
And you start saying, "Huh, like I'm just asking you to be mildly observant here, right?" And they go, "You're right. Like we have houses like that." Yeah. Or officers have seen stuff where they just say like, "Yeah," because by the way, in the middle of the night, if you are, you know everyone's where they're supposed to be in your home and you hear someone walking around, you don't call Ray and I.
No, you don't. You call the cops.
You call 911.
Maybe later if it keeps happening.
Yeah, you call the police because you might have an intruder, right? If you keep striking out there, then, you know, you can call us after. Yeah. And we'll go check it out and we'll bring some beers and we'll look for your ghosts. But no, for sure. Like, but that's the thing, right? That's who you call. They're the first on the scene. And sometimes they see some weird stuff. Mm. We talked about the Lindley Street haunting not that long ago.
Yep.
I mean, Ed and Lorraine Warren case in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And there are police officers quoted by name talking about like, "I thought this was just a break-in or burglary. When I got there, we're watching the refrigerator levitate."
Oh, yeah.
Police officer named, quoted, like the whole thing on the record. Yep. You know, we saw the TV just fall over. No
and
one in the room.
Who says that unless it really happened?
Unless you're like, "Hey, look, I don't care what you, this is what I saw."
Right.
Period. You can say whatever you want about anything. But I saw this happen and I can't explain it and whatever, you know, but that's what I saw. I'm on the job. I'm doing my job. I'm observing and boom. And so I think police officers, first of all, that you have to have some sort of sense, right, for something, but also they're the first on the scene for so many strange events.
Right.
And I thought, you know, it'd just be great if they talked about it more. Now, that being said, I've met police officers that are part of paranormal teams.
Yeah.
right? Which is great. They get they get in everywhere, you know, because it's just like, I know one team, it's like there's a police officer, an EMT, a firefighter, you know, and they borrow equipment sometimes, especially the fire department. They've got like those thermals that look through walls to see where the heat is and stuff. And they're all like first responders. So when they're like, so people trust them, you know, to come into their homes and businesses. And I was just like, oh, it's good
to
know.
That'd be a great show, by the way.
I know.
A team of firefighters and police.
First responders.
Yeah. First responders. First paranormal responders. What would you name the show?
Something First like Response, that? Paranormal.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I like that. It's either a CBS drama or a Travel Channel reality show.
Yeah, I'll make some calls. But no, I think it's...
By the way, too, I'm sure a ghost would rather see a cop come in than a priest. Probably. So they're probably more active when a cop comes in.
Yeah, like, oh, thank goodness, there's help.
Yeah,
oh,
it's not a man of the cloth. All right, he's not going to try to get rid of us.
Don't need holy water. I'm just very confused right now.
Right. That's another thing, too. Ghosts make a lot of noise because sometimes they're just confused. They're just like, bumping around the walls. Like, what am I doing
there's
here?
There's people in my house, right? From their perspective.
Of course they're going to make noise.
Like, what is all this stuff?
Excuse me.
This isn't my chair.
What was that movie with Nicole Kidman?
The Others?
The Others.
That was
I don't
want to
give that away, but...
Watch it. It's a good one.
So good.
It's, if you like suspense, it's a good one.
And if you like twists and...
Yeah. It's a good one. It's a good one for sure. So also, tuberculosis, we've told many a tale.
Yeah, this is fun. Let's talk about TB.
Hysterical. Many a tale related to tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Mostly vampires.
That's right.
It was always a vampire story. I think this could be our first ghostly tuberculosis story.
Yeah, if memory serves right.
Maybe.
It's always been vampires.
Always been vampires. But so sometimes, you know, these epidemics and pandemics do indeed haunt us from the past because that was part of it, right? That was a pandemic, an epidemic that ripped through the world and took a lot of lives and had to be dealt with. And one of the things that it's so, when you look back through history, COVID obviously is the thing that comes to everybody's mind.
In 100 years, will we be talking about COVID as...
I don't know.
As we talk about tuberculosis today?
It's not as big of a killer as tuberculosis was, right? And tuberculosis, one of the things that's missing from the narrative is the many, many decades that this country fought it. It was not a year.
Oh, yeah.
It was decades. It was these sanatoriums like the one in Pittsford, Vermont, were built because we had to get you. You're sick with tuberculosis. We can't have you infecting others. So you go here. And, you know, let's see what we can do about it. Now, eventually there was inoculations, there was antibiotics, there was all kinds of things to help make it better. And we really got it under control in the United States, but it took a tremendous amount of time, effort, and money. Mm. People getting mad about, you know, all the same issues that we dealt with during COVID, where someone's like, I work, I'm sick, I need to work to make money for my family, or we'll literally lose our home and starve.
Right.
But if I go to work, I'm going to infect others. And so it sounds completely un-American to pay someone not to work, but that's what they did with TB because they had to, because they knew like, I can't have you going to work and wiping out the whole workforce.
Right.
But they also know you have a family and you need to eat. So there's no simple solution when we're dealing with an invisible killer like this. Mm. And it raises so many issues. And the ones that everybody screamed about during COVID were not new. They'd been screamed about 100 years ago. Mm. You know, it's just, this one was ours. And I think sometimes stories like this allow us to sort of look back and say, yeah, we've been here before. We've been here before. And every now and then a new recruit police officer deals with it and is better prepared for when he's on the job and gets called to a haunted home.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, I can't do that.
No, you can't. Close, though.
Got a strange story you think we should check out? Reach out to us anytime through our website. And don't assume that we've heard it before. We love when you guys get involved. You should also join our super secret New England Legends Facebook group where thousands of others are discussing the weird. And be sure to download our free New England Legends app in your smartphone app store. It's a great way to connect with us and all of our strange legends.
We'd like to thank our Patreon patrons, our sponsors, and of course our theme music is by John Judd.
Until next time, remember,
the bizarre is closer than you think.